Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Sort of.
Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Exactly. Thank you, John David Wells, for being the big voice of the What's Your Problem podcast. Recording semi-live. I mean, we are alive. We're sitting here, hearts are beating and brains are working. Well, that last statement, maybe not so much. But, you know, we are somewhat live from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill. Check us out at BigDotLighting.com, BigDotElectrical.com. If you have anything electrical, we can help you with that. Please reach out to us. Check us out, BigDotLighting.com. What's Your Problem podcast is talking to business owners and professionals from all over the Middle Tennessee area and maybe even beyond every now and then, but mainly we're talking to Spring Hill people, Columbia people, Thompson Station people, Franklin people, even Nolensville reaching out there, even getting into Nashville. Why not? I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com and, of course, Big Dot Inc. And we're going to get into some problems because this is what this podcast is all about. What's your problems about the problems everyday business owners and professionals here around the area are having? So today, got a good friend of mine. I guess, you know, kind of an acquaintance, but definitely friends. We always kind of see each other on Facebook and everything and always talk to each other over several years. And he got on my radar because I think he's one of the most prolific marketers here in town for sure. So please, I want to welcome to the show Corey Smith, also known as Yard Boy.
Hey there, Jim. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Talk to me about how did all this stuff begin for you? I mean, you've been, I can't tell by the accent because, you know, have you been a longtime resident of Tennessee?
All my life. How did you know?
I don't know. You sound like you're from Northeast.
Is it that obvious?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's I've never lived more than 2 miles from where I grew up.
Always in the Louisville? Not Louisville.
Not Louisville.
Lewisburg.
Lewisburg, technically Petersburg.
Right.
Kind of halfway between Fayetteville and Lewisburg.
I should know that because a lot of your posts are about the Petersburg local government down there.
Yeah, the adventures in Petersburg. So I'm gonna write a book about that one of these days, but I got to wait on certain people to die off so that the, you know, like I can.
They can't sue you.
That's right.
Right.
That
right.
too.
Well,
that,
I mean.
There could be worse things they could do to me, but suing is part of that too.
Well, the thing is, you from what I could see, at one point you were involved in AdvoCare, which is, I mean, is
still
that still
am.
Going? You still are.
Yeah, still are.
You still
are.
You do bacon.
Do bacon and sausage.
And, of course, you do the lawn mowing, the yard boy
stuff.
Yeah,
the yard boy is kind of the what got it all started.
Text yard boy to 90210. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, text the yard boy to 90210.
Sorry.
And I think that's probably where you first kind of caught on to me was seeing me use that.
I first caught on to you by the tongue-in-cheek Facebook posts I'd see on the Spring Hill pages.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But the yard boy thing just kind of, you know, like any kid out there at about 10, 11, 12 years old, just picked up some yards to mow around home for cash and make a little money and get out of the house. And just as the years went on, just kept doing that on the side and working some full-time jobs through high school and even after graduation. And it just kind of just kept snowballing to the point that
full-time job.
Yeah, I was just using up all of my vacation time from my regular job just to keep up with this.
What was your regular job at the time?
The last real, I guess what my mother-in-law calls real job that I had, I worked for a company in Fayetteville that we built stainless steel kitchen equipment. Commercial kitchen equipment for predominantly McDonald's.
Right.
And I did, ironically, electrical installation on this stuff. So
really?
I've got a little bit of an electrical background with that. And
so we could hire you.
It's been a while, Jim.
Yeah. At least rough in some houses or something.
Well, as long as I can remember to not cross the black and white wires up, I think we'd be okay.
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah, don't cross the streams.
We learned that in Ghostbusters.
I've worked that job for, I don't know, 10, 11 years.
Right.
And just out of dumb luck, I broke my foot going into the winter of about 2007. And I was going to orthopedic clinic in Cool Springs for treatment. They wanted to do surgery. I didn't. And so I was laid up for about 12 weeks letting that heal. And the doctor would always tell me, go straight home and prop your foot up. And I didn't want to because I was going stir crazy at home. And I just started taking the back roads going home, and I come through Spring Hill one day. And it's the first time I'd been through Spring Hill in probably a decade.
Right.
And I didn't recognize it. And I thought, wow, this is where I need to be. And, of course, my wife is originally from Franklin, so had a little bit of insight into Williamson County from that.
Right.
And, of all things, put a ad out on Craigslist back in 2007. And still have my first customer from 2007.
There you go.
She's still on my route today. So that's how all that got started. And then as social media evolved, it just took off from that.
Right.
Built a little simple website. And next thing I knew, I was covered up, and I had to let the other full-time job go to keep up with this.
Well, that's a good thing, though. I mean,
it's always a good
master thing. And commander of your own domain.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you know, with the marketing aspect of it, I mean, it's so simplistic from a surface level what you do. I mean, because you're one of these guys that always I look at a lot of what I do. Right. Here I am. I'm involved with Big Dot as a partner and owner. I do voiceover. I do podcast production. I do video production. There's a whole multitude of things that I come to the table with. I don't really own a word in the mind other than maybe just being able to, you know, coming out of radio, market a business. I've got tons of experience doing that.
Right.
Here you are. You're in the bacon sausage business. You got Advocare going and you're mowing lawns. I mean, you're kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if it would confuse the market, but I mean, you are an expert in all three areas for sure.
Well, they're all three, believe it or not, they're all tied together. The bacon and sausage was something that my family had done for years.
Right.
And my dad worked in a factory in Lewisburg, and, you know, pigs were my 4-H and FFA project in school. So we had them. And the market kind of bottomed out, the hog market bottomed out in the early 90s, and Daddy's like, we're not going to give them away at the stockyard. And so we get a USDA certified processor lined up to start, you know, taking care of that for us. And he's just selling to people, he's selling to guys that he works with.
Right.
Well, through the lawn service here in Spring Hill, just through casual conversation like you and I would have, it comes up that, you know, my family, they ask me, one of the big questions I always get is, well, what do you do in the wintertime?
And I
would just come like say, well, you know, my family has sausage. Oh, and then the light bulb goes off.
Right.
Oh, well, I need to try some of that. And next thing you know, as you well know, in the Spring Hill area, if something ever takes off, word of mouth spreads like wildfire through this
town. One way or the other.
Yeah, one way or the other, good or bad, it spreads.
It's either positivity or judgment.
And that's what happened there. And what started out is three or four people that, you know, were on my lawn service route, it just exploded.
Right.
And so that, and Advocare came along through somebody that I was doing lawn work for. She was a distributor for it. She saw that I was drinking entirely too much Sun Drop through the day. She said, here, you need to try this.
Right.
And next thing I know, that blossoms as well.
Right.
So it's all one big intertwined
it is
mess.
It's not as congruent as one might think.
Nobody would ever put those three things together.
Yeah.
But they all...
They'd go together like chocolate, pickles, and mustard. Well,
in
mustard
a weird
goes
kind
with
of way,
pickles.
Yeah. But
I guess mustard goes with pickles, but you know, yeah. I mean, I guess the mustard and pickles being the sausage and bacon and lawn mowing.
Maybe, yeah,
maybe. Well, I guess either. Yeah, they're oddly interchangeable.
Yeah,
interestingly enough. I mean, that is true. I mean, what does a lawn guy do during the winter? You know, hang out.
Believe it or not, I don't have that much time off. And, you know, everybody just assumes that the grass stops growing, but they don't take into account the leaves keep falling. And, you know, there's bushes. That's what I've been out doing this morning. You can kind of look. See, I brought in some residue with me this morning.
Nice. I'll sweep up later.
I tried to broom off as much as I could before I got here for you, Jim.
That's fine.
But, you know, just, you know, catching up on little things that should have been done that couldn't get done because the grass was growing, you know, whatever. But I don't get a lot of time off. Maybe from Christmas to about Valentine's Day.
I can't see you as somebody that would be able to sit around twiddling your thumbs.
No,
you'd have to find something to do.
I can't. I have to be out just into something.
Yeah, you're like me. It's just purpose.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, a lot of what you're doing is solopreneur type of venture. Well, except for the bacon business, I would imagine that you got a team that's doing that as well. You're kind of the lead salesman.
Well, it's family. Yeah. You know, it's myself and my parents, and then we have a third party processor,
right?
You know, off site that takes care of the actual, you know, we'll say what it is, the slaughtering and the preparation.
Yeah.
And then we just pick it up and then take it direct to consumer.
Yeah.
But
even your ability to get attention of people, you know, people's attention, like, you know, WTN, you see, you just mentioned that you and Del Giorno are really good friends.
Right.
Should have had him in here doing this.
Well, we wouldn't get anything done.
That's fine.
It would just be complete pandemonium.
I mean, but the thing is that he's a great personality,
right?
And he would be great at, you know, maybe we need to have like another show with him.
And that was just dumb luck there again. We became Facebook friends. I was one of the first Facebook friends that he had, and just started chatting back and forth.
Right.
And next thing I know, you know, we meet up and swap phone numbers, and I've helped him move a couple of times.
And, yeah.
And you know, he's a legitimate friend of mine.
That's cool.
And we text back and forth, cutting up and whatnot, and he is completely jinxed my Vols since he moved here from Oklahoma. So, and I've carved out tees in his yard because of that before. So.
Nice. Now you are also pretty political on Facebook. You
can't be.
Yeah, but you, everybody knows where you stand. I mean, right. It's, has that helped or hindered you? Do you kind of get, you know?
I can't really say that it's. I try. You know, when you're in business, one of the worst things you can do is discuss politics with customers. And I tell customers when they start talking to me about like that, I just tell them I don't discuss it.
Yeah.
With you. But I do have a select few customers that are Facebook friends.
Yeah, they see it.
And they see it.
Yeah.
And I actually had one just this last week that she and I are not on the same page politically.
Right.
But she told me, she said, you know, she said, that's fine. And she said, you don't throw your opinions in my face and try to beat me over the head with it. And she said, I'm fine with that.
Right.
And she said, if more people would be like you like that, you know, the world would be a better place.
Well, it doesn't help anybody on Facebook anyway. Now you're not changing anybody's mind.
You're not going to change anybody's mind. Yeah. So, but do I take the jabs when they're there? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm be the first one to share a meme that I know is going to.
Well, it's like you, Craig Midget, Scott Watson.
Don't lump me in with those guys.
You don't want to be lumped in with Craig Midget?
No.
I don't blame you. I hope he watches this. I hope you watch this, Craig.
I hope he is.
Why don't you want to be lumped in with Craig?
No, I'm just kidding. They're all great guys.
They're all good.
They
guys.
Really are.
But it's funny because, I mean, here you are. I always talk about businesses building their presence on social media. One of the best ways you can do it is, you know, kind of like what we're doing with this podcast,
right.
is you know, getting, just being uber local, yeah. You know, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's kind of worked out for you over time. So I will ask you, as soon as I pull this up and I'm completely unprepared, here we go.
What's your problem?
Corey Smith, what are the challenges you're having in business these days? One big one that comes to mind. I want to hit me with like Thor's hammer, Mjolnir back there.
Wow.
Of a challenge.
I'll be honest with you, and this may not be the answer you're looking for, but the challenge that I'm facing at this point in my life.
Right.
When I started all of this, I had a newborn.
Right.
Now I have a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 6-year-old at home. The challenge that I'm running into now, and it's my own fault because I choose to remain that solo guy.
Right.
I've gone through those periods in the business where I've brought guys in to help me, and the business exploded.
Right.
And what I found was I couldn't keep reliable guys that would stay with me. And so several years back, I just scaled back to what I said, okay, this is what I can comfortably do by myself. And I don't have to rely on keeping an employees. And it's not a knock against guys that have, you know, 15, 20 employees out here running. That's great. There's a place for you, but there's a place for the one man show like me too. Mm-hmm. But what I'm running into is making that time away and park and pay, taking the business and setting it aside so that daddy can go and be at ball games.
Right.
So that daddy can be home dealing with things with the family. And I had to make the decision. Sorry about that. If I get you a big bunch of feedback there. Sure. I had to make the decision a few years back that, number one, I don't answer phone calls, texts, and emails after certain point in time in the day. Mm-hmm. And Saturday and Sunday, leave me alone.
Right.
I'll get back to you on Monday morning.
Right.
Now, does that mean sometimes I lose a sale, lose a customer? Yes.
Mm.
But
now, do you find that's been rewarded to you, like in a divine sense that, you know, even though you might shut off on the weekends, that you still get provision?
Still, it still comes.
Yeah.
It's still rolling in. And it's, you know, people say it's a good problem to have, but I have all that I can handle right now myself.
Right.
I'm not sitting around here where I look back 10 years ago, the time when you probably first noticed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was shaking every tree I could get trying to get a nut to fall out to get my foot in the door.
Right.
But I've been rewarded for that over the past decade or so, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's been 13 years that I've been working in Spring Hill.
Right.
14, almost 14. That people know the name. That, you know, that's old yard boy over there.
Yeah.
Or that's the bacon dude, or that's the guy that I can get my spark from. You know, I'm at that point now where I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really something that I have worked on in the last few years with the lawn care business anyway, is less windshield time. Whereas you get into a neighborhood and you pick up 3-4 accounts,
yeah,
and less time driving. And I'm being very picky about who I take and who I work with.
But the frustrating from an entrepreneur standpoint is, how do I scale this thing up?
Yes.
Because it's just me. There's always so much right. of me that can go around.
Right.
And it's similar to, you ever read the E-Myth?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Where they talk about the three different types of entrepreneurs is the you know, the entrepreneur, then there's the technician, then there's the manager.
Right.
So that's the technician type of approach. Basically, hey, I work for a baker, but I right. know I could do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And why do I have to make money for somebody else?
Right.
And eventually the business ends up owning you.
Right.
You know, is that kind of how it went for a while?
It did. It yeah. did. And it was, you know, it was just leave before the sun came up in the mornings and dark when I got home in the evenings, and that yeah. was, and I was married to it. And I had to, a few years back with one, my oldest child, some things happened, you know, medically with her.
Mm-hmm.
I had to step back and say, I've got to be back, you know, being daddy,
yeah,
being home with these kids. And instead of being staying gone all day long, coming in, taking a shower, and going to bed. Because that's right. really had where
How late were you getting home at those times?
You know, back then, probably I might roll in, you know, in the summertime when it's daylight.
Right.
It'd be daylight to 8 o'clock.
Yeah. 8:30 sometimes.
So sometimes getting home at 8:30, yeah. going straight into taking a shower, and probably sitting down in a recliner and, you know, Homer Simpson out and gone snoring.
But I mean, you know, there's an element, I always put it this way, because I could see myself getting into that. Since we've been in this building, I've been able to focus and be a little bit more pragmatic about my day.
Yes.
So once I'm actually wrapped up, I feel like I'm away, because I had an experience for the past 4 years of working at home.
Mm-hmm.
And now with COVID and the kids being at home,
mm-hmm.
it's like your focus and my distraction level went up. So we got this building. We moved in here in September. I've been able to do everything I do mm-hmm. right from this room. And
right.
it feels like I'm back in radio again.
There you go.
Because I can't get away from the notion of concentrating on just one thing. I tried that once. I don't think it'll ever happen again. I have to have a bunch of stuff going on at once. That's just who I am. That's what excites me. That's what gives me purpose. I love coming in here and doing my thing. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, 5-6 rolls around. All right, let's call it a day. Yeah, we go home.
Exactly.
And now I feel like I can give my family the attention they need.
And, you know? And to that point, you're talking about moving into this building. I had an opportunity kind of drop into my lap about 3 years ago
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Petersburg's about, from right here where we're sitting, takes me about 40 minutes to get to my house.
Ooh,
okay. And it sounds like a long way, yeah. But when you live in Petersburg, you understand you're going to have to drive a long way to get to anything.
Because it's Petersburg and you love it.
Yeah, I love it. It's where, you know, it's home. It's home. Right. But I love Spring Hill. I love the people up here. I absolutely love this community. But that's home to me down there too.
Right.
But I had an opportunity kind of, and literally just kind of drop into my lap about 3 years ago, where I was able to have some shop space up here.
Yeah.
Where all of my equipment stays stored. I do all my maintenance work, everything. And it's away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I get home, I've already parked everything. I've left it. It's behind. So I have somewhere, you know, where instead of getting up in the mornings and driving straight into Spring Hill or the on occasion Franklin,
yeah,
you know, now I get up, I go to the shop, I kind of make my list for the day of what I've got to do, you know, fuel up, whatever.
So you have the shop?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a shop that's off site now.
You rent or you own it?
It's kind of a arrangement.
Let's
put it that way.
Yeah.
It's basically a barter.
It's funny how, like, a lot of the people who are beloved businesses, and I consider you to be one of them, that if anybody were to come out and slam Yard Boy on Facebook, there would be a lot of defenders coming to you.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so.
I think that's probably, you know, the same thing happened. I just had Nellie's in here, Danielle and Ryan Hall. Mm-hmm. They came in here, and they have the same kind of thing going on. Bill Yuss has got the same kind of thing going on. He was in episode 2 or 3, I believe, of the What's Your Problem podcast. Go check it out. whatsyourproblempodcast.com. And all three of you have the same issue. Have the same challenge. We just, you know, theirs is all about scaling and being able to, they've all outgrown their spaces.
Right.
So you're just basically using the space so it actually, okay, work is at work,
mm-hmm.
not at home.
That, yeah, that plus it cut way down on my fuel bill.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
because you're always towing a trailer.
Right, towing a trailer. And, you know, when you got a truck that's getting, you know, 7 miles of the gallon downhill with a tailwind.
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with that.
That helps tremendously.
Well, what's the weight on the trailer you're pulling? It's not that much, is it?
It's not that much, but it's I'd say the mower with truck, you know, trailer equipment, everything. You're probably coming in somewhere around, I don't know, 2,000 pounds,
yeah, not
with that.
Much.
So it's not much.
And you're driving what, a 2,500?
Yeah, 2,500 6 liter gas, you know, yeah. Hog.
Yeah.
That is loud, and I like to make it loud.
What kind of cars do you like, Norman? You're a truck guy.
Yeah,
always will be.
I mean, I've got a little. I'm a General Motors guy. Everything I have is Chevrolet.
Right.
So you know, I've got a little Blazer that I run around in. That's what is affectionately known as the meat wagon.
What's a Blazer? How old's a Blazer?
It's a '98 model.
Oh my gosh!
200,000 miles and still going strong.
Yeah.
So.
I drive the 08 Honda Odyssey.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
I might get a 08 in a few, 4 or 5 years.
new car to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, I mean, that's, what's the end game for you? Where are you going to go from here? What do you want to do? I mean, someone like you, I'd imagine you'd know in Petersburg and Fayetteville.
Right.
There's got to be a ton of property down there you could be buying.
Could be. You know, eventually I'm an only child.
Yeah.
There's no brothers and sisters to split things up with. So the family farm, that'll eventually go to me.
It's not a beet farm, is it?
No. It's got pigs.
Pigs?
Yeah. So
nothing but pigs?
Pigs and cattle. There's a few cattle running on it.
Do you do beef as well?
We sales? Don't. No.
Okay. Milk?
Dairy? No dairy. No.
What do the cattle do then?
They graze and then they go to market.
So you're selling sides of beef then?
No, we don't do beef direct to consumer.
Oh,
no,
okay.
They're still traditional. Go to the stockyard and you know.
Oh, okay. Definitely. I got you. You're raising them and selling them off.
Yeah.
I'm completely unfamiliar with this.
There's two sides to the cattle. Yeah. There's the commercial being sold, you know, at the livestock market, whenever we decide to load them up and take them.
I'm sitting here thinking that you were keeping them as pets or something.
Well, sometimes I wonder with that with my dad. some of them
is
have
that
names.
He does?
Oh yes, that's his day. He's 76 years old.
God bless him.
And he's got an old truck older than mine. And he rides through his grass lots and checks on. He knows every single. There's probably 300 head of cattle out there.
Oh my gosh.
Every single one of them. And he's got them so spoiled he can just drive right up beside them in the truck, reach out, pet them on the head, and they know him, and he knows them. And so,
well, when the time comes to actually ship them off, I mean, how does he get?
Oh, he cries.
Really?
It's like it's like a funeral. He doesn't want to let he does not want to let them go. And I'm like, Daddy, we got you got feed bills you've got to pay. They got to go.
Yeah.
And
It's an enviable lifstyle for sure.
Oh, it is. And he has, God bless him, he has worked his backside off his whole life.
Right.
And that's kind of where I get my drive from. He worked in a factory for 40 years, was a maintenance supervisor, and then he farmed on the side.
Which factory down there?
It was, most people around here would know it as Howell Quaker. It was later a Carrier. I guess it was Carrier when it finally closed up in 2002, 2003.
I got you.
Heating and cooling.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Howell Quaker for many, many years until it was bought out.
Well, getting back to the kids seeing you working all the time. I always told my wife when I was constantly work, I would rather them see me working.
Yes.
Than playing video games.
Absolutely.
Because I've known guys that have, not paid attention to their families, or they've played with their kids, and they'll play, all night worth of video games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, least they're seeing me bust my butt. I'd rather them see that. Of course, I got to spend time with them and be a dad.
Right.
But, I mean, has it gotten better for you with getting some more family time?
Yes, it has. And it's with... All three of them play some form of sports.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest one is probably the most athletic at the moment, although I think the six-year-old is going to probably give her a run for her money.
What does she do?
The oldest one right now, she plays basketball right now, and then she plays softball, but she'll tell you that she prefers basketball.
Right.
Of course, their whole softball season this year got canceled.
Shut down.
It just gobbled. They didn't get to have it. The little one, she plays basketball. She plays softball. She's probably going. She has got one of the most natural swings of a child that I have ever seen.
Really?
At 6 years, at 5 and 6 years old.
Nice cut and everything.
Oh yes. She's going to be something. But she's the reason I have as much gray hair as I have right now too, because she's a typical 6 year old bouncing off the walls, never stops talking. Just into everything.
Now, middle child.
Middle child she is the middle child.
So three girls.
Three
God
girls.
Bless you. It's a lot of wedding to pay for.
Yeah, well, we are learning the word elope at an early age. We are encouraging elope.
It's okay, kids.
Yes.
Let's just plant those seeds now, and mom and dad are okay. If you just want to take off, go to Vegas.
We will give you the money to go to Gatlinburg and go to the chapel and be done with it.
That's hilarious. My son and I have a similar situation where my oldest daughter, who's 14 as well, is proficient at soccer. My 8-year-old daughter is getting much better at soccer as well. My boy, my middle 12-year-old boy, just, never really took to soccer. Didn't mm-hmm. really like it. But, I mean, as young as 2-3 years old, he'd always, just had an affinity for baseball.
Right.
And finally, this year, we got him into it. And wouldn't you know, it's been a bonding thing with him because we didn't have much to bond on.
Yes.
For a while, it was drums, and he was just an excellent drummer. So he and I started playing together. And then it goes in phases, as you well know, with kids.
Right.
Then he went into Rubik's Cubes, and he's into video games. And he's always into the oddest thing right now. And this is going to sound horrible as a parent. He is obsessed with The Shining, the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We told him, look, if you want to watch the movie, you got to read the book. And my wife made it. You want to watch that movie? Because he's as young as 8, 9 years. I want to watch The Shining. Why? Why The Shining? I just like horror movies.
Well, there's worse things, Jim. All three of mine can almost verbatim quote Smokey and the Bandit.
That's not bad.
Smokey and the Bandit and Lonesome Dove. And it's
I don't think I've ever seen Lonesome Dove.
You've never seen Lonesome Dove? Oh, man, you haven't lived. So no, seriously, there are like life lessons in Lonesome Dove.
I got to watch it.
And it's, but you got to understand, it's like a 6 or 8 hour miniseries. So you got to
be into time it. Yeah, you can binge watch.
Gus McCrae has some of the most wise life advice you'll ever hear in your life.
What is one of them?
Oh gosh. Well, the one that gets repeated around our house so much, and you've got to see the movie to understand it. But when you see this scene, you're going to laugh out loud. Uh-huh. But you know, the question around our house is always, are y'all ready to go yet? Because the kids do not get in a hurry. I know that's probably, you know, exclusive to my household, is the kids just move like
molasses
getting ready.
In January.
And so the question will be asked, are you ready?
Yeah.
And the answer is always, don't I look ready? And when you're going to see this scene in the movie where Gus is sitting in a creek smoking a cigarette in his underwear, and he stands up whenever, I'm trying to think of Tommy Lee Jones' character in the movie, but he says, are you ready to go? And he stands up in his underwear out of the creek. Don't I look ready? And so that's the answer around the house.
So we went through a weekend, I want to say, when we first moved to Nashville. We watched all the movies that we always heard about but never watched.
Okay.
The Godfather series being one of them. Uh-huh. The one with dueling banjos.
Deliverance.
We watched that. All these, and Deliverance really kind of made a mark. Left a mark. Indelible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will.
It's, don't need to see that one again.
No. Yeah. There's no, once you see that one, you're pretty well got
you it. Can't unsee it.
But the kids, we'll set a projector up in the backyard on a big screen and watch college football in the fall.
Oh, nice.
And when that goes off, they always want to watch Smokey and the Bandit for whatever reason. So we'll watch that. So we've seen it so many times.
Do the kids get involved with what you do? I mean, maybe coming out with you on jobs or deliveries, anything like
I've had them at times. If there's a small landscaping job that I've got to do, I'll have them come out, pull weeds or help me move bags of mulch from the truck or wheelbarrow loads of mulch from the truck to the where it needs to go.
Because eventually you can, you know, bring them into the fold. I mean, are you familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk? You follow his stuff at all?
No, I'm not.
He's out of New York, and he's a Jersey boy, actually. But, you know, he was born in Belarus, Russia.
Okay.
And he tells the story that he was literally traded for wheat to come to the States. But having that immigrant mindset, you know, his father got into the like package store business, working for somebody else, and then eventually owned it. And Gary came into it and started but Gary was always just a natural born entrepreneur
right from
the get go. He always talks about the life balance thing,
yes. You
know, and people would kind of, you know, razz him about it and say, look, you're never home. When do your kids see you? Because he is literally one of these guys that goes 18 hours a day, you know. And he does the same thing that you're talking about. He says, from 7 to 9 or 10, I am home and everything gets shut off.
Yep.
If I have to go out after that, I'm like, well, what about your wife? He says, my wife knows the deal.
Yeah.
This is what I want her to do, and this is what you're getting into. Which I understand to a certain extent, but he is now to the point where he can start bringing his kids with him.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of getting to that point as well.
We, I put the oldest one on the mower, on the big zero turn mower, about 2 months ago. We were pulling some bushes out at our house.
Right.
Just ripping them out, just total getting done with them. And I just put her on. I said, look, all you got to do is just pull these sticks straight back. And I said, the machine will pull it out of the ground. That was as far from the truth as what it could be, because when she pulled back, it jerked.
Yeah,
and it freaked her out. And so instead of pulling back, she pushes forward. And when she pushes forward, and it looked like a cowboy trying to hang on 8 seconds.
It starts bucking.
Yeah. And so luckily, the security camera on the garage caught it all. And so I downloaded that footage and made a GIF and sent it around to all of her friends and text messages at school.
Yeah.
So she's been famous for that.
Well, I got to ask, you know, shifting gears, you know, and I know it's about what's your problem, but the other, you know, elephant in the room is, what's the deal? You, on almost a daily basis, you know, drag the local government of the town you live in through razor blades and mud and all the other things. I mean, what is up with that?
Well, believe it or not, I actually served on that in that government for 4 years, from 2010 to 2014. And the way I describe it, Petersburg, and don't get me wrong, the people in the community
are good.
Are some of the most salt of the earth people you'll ever find.
Right.
They are great people. When you hear the phrase, "We'll give you the shirt off their back," literally, they will.
Yeah.
Okay. When we talk about Petersburg, Tennessee, the incorporated portion of it is 1 square mile, about 500 people. I mean, we're talking smaller than
most. Why did they incorporate it?
We're talking about smaller than most subdivisions in Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's incorporated because at the time, back in the late 1800s, it straddled two counties. It mm-hmm. sits in Lincoln County and Marshall County. And so, and it was also a railroad town at the time, too. So it was incorporated because you had so far away, you were 13 miles from Fayetteville, 13 miles from Lewisburg. Law enforcement was a long way off.
Right.
And with being a railroad community, and there was also at the time, there was a boarding school that turned into kind of a quasi-college, mm-hmm. Morgan School, as a prep school for boys, much like, you know, MBA and all this up here in Nashville. And it was a prep school where most of them went on to Vanderbilt once they left there after 2 years. And the town really was kind of, at the time, was growing and had a lot of shops and whatnot that popped up around there. It was a trade center. And it was incorporated for that purpose, to mm-hmm. collect taxes, to be able to pay law enforcement and whatever in the area. As time went on, though, the railroad went away. The little factory in town closed up. The school closed up. Mm-hmm. And it's just still there.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen the Pixar movie Cars mm-hmm. with Lightning McQueen and Radiator Springs, the little town that he breaks down in, that's how I describe it to people. And, right. and I can say that, and I'm not making fun of it.
You're from there.
Because I'm there.
You get it.
But there's some people that live there, they take issue, they take exception to it. You know, they take exception to the fact that I have designated a, you know, Channel 4 has the Snowbird, we have a Storm Possum. And
you are very creative when it comes to that.
So, and they think I'm lying when I say something about Famous Phil's Corn Liquor Still, but there is a literal moonshine still right off of the square. And the mayor that was in charge at the time was, his name was Phil, and we affectionately named him Famous. Actually, it was a local preacher named him Famous Phil, which I never understood how anyway. So, my time on the board, though, I describe it to people as the scene in The Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. when you see the little man behind the curtain pulling all the levers and making all the noise. And my time on the board inside the walls of Town Hall, I looked around and I said, why are we doing this? And of course, I got the answer.
Yeah.
And you know the answer of why people do things.
It's what we've always
done. It's just what we've always done.
Yeah.
And I said, why? And they don't like it when you ask, why? So
that encouraged you to say why a lot more.
I say why more. And the more I say why, the madder they get. And so
are you like the Donald Trump of Petersburg?
Well, I guess you could say that. You know, where it kind of came in, Jim, is you had a mayor at the time who, God bless him, he had no business being in anything politics.
Right.
And
that could be a good thing, though.
He started hiring family members to work for the town that were in no way qualified to do the jobs that they were doing.
Right.
And some things got said about me. We had a Halloween party for our kids. And a statement was made about we were bribing people to come trick-or-treat at our house with hot dogs and marshmallows, and we had probably laced the candy with potions.
Oh.
And my wife took a lot of exception to that.
Can't imagine why.
And I said, you let me handle that. Yeah. And the next month I went in, I know you've seen this, mm-hmm. the next month I went in and paid my water bill with a 5-gallon bucket of nickels, dimes, pennies, and quarters.
Still money.
And that's what I told him. I said, it's money. And I'll have you know, the next month at the meeting, they passed an ordinance that banned that much loose change being brought in to pay a bill. And that's when it was on. That's just because it's kind of the person I am, that whenever you do something like that to me, I'm just going to throw it right back at you.
So now this is part of your purpose. This
and can become now, yes, it just became an on-running feud.
You can actually make this into like an online show.
Well, that's kind of what it has turned into, really, for some people, I think.
This is part of your YouTube channel, I think.
Sometimes it can be. And even this past year, the deadline to run for office came up, and there were 3 seats available, and only 2 people went and qualified to be on the ballot. And so I filled out to run as a write-in candidate. Had campaign. I had in 1 square mile, Jim. I had 40 campaign signs inside of 1 square mile. So,
oh, that's awesome.
And I produced some YouTube videos that went along with it, and I ran promoted Facebook. I built a Facebook page for the campaign.
Yeah.
Spent about $100 of my own money in running promoted ads. I targeted it down to the 1 mile of within my house because that's where it was. It's where the voters were at. People got sick of seeing my face pop up in their news feed on Facebook every day.
How do they? I mean, when you see them in town, are they appreciative of it? Do they get it?
Most people are.
Yeah.
Most people are actually, and of course, not enough were because I didn't get enough votes to win.
This is the kind of thing you could see on Kimmel. I mean, you could be a guest on you know, some of the late night talk shows because you're just giving them crap. You're giving them a hard time.
Yeah, I do.
And they're elected officials, of course. You should give them a hard time.
Absolutely. And that's the way I look at it. You know, I tell them, one of the campaign statements that I made was the employees don't run the town, the elected officials do. And I said that for too long, the tail has been wagging the dog around here.
Yeah.
And you, the people, you know, always make a point. I point at the camera whenever I talk to the camera. I said, you, the people, you're not being represented.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, I guess, the day of the deadline to file as a write-in candidate, one of the incumbents who had said he was not going to run, he literally took off of work within 30 minutes of the deadline to go and file as a write-in candidate because he was scared to death I was going to get elected.
Wow.
The 24-year-old mayor that lives at home with his parents, he got reelected.
So it was a rigged election.
I actually contested it, and nothing changed. So,
right.
And honestly, I'm glad I ran, just so people can say, well, you run your mouth a lot, but you don't do anything about it.
Right.
So, but
well, I mean, if you got in, what would you do? Would you just abolish the whole position? You think?
I would have. I had already been talking to officials in Nashville about how to unincorporate the community.
Right.
And it is a growing trend around town. People ask me, well, when are we going to incorporate this thing? Well, it's just a process that has to be, there's a way to do it. But I said, it has to come from the board. The board has to actually vote to do it.
Right.
And right now the ones that are on there are not going to vote to do that.
But if you see, are you guys seeing an influx of population? Are people starting to trickle out from Columbia and everything as we start getting full?
Or we
have been full?
We see it some.
Yeah.
But I tell people we are in a unique position because we're about 60 miles from Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and then we're about 50 miles from Huntsville, Alabama.
Right.
And if you know anything about Huntsville, Alabama, Huntsville is exploding right now, much like Nashville has been, because you have an arsenal, you have Redstone Arsenal there. Toyota is building a large manufacturing facility there.
There's infrastructure.
Yeah, there's a lot that's coming in right there. Plus, we're not far from Tullahoma, Tennessee, which has an Air Force base as well. So we're kind of in that area where people, when they get to that point in their life, they want to get away from the urban areas.
Yeah.
But as I've told people, we're going to start seeing it, but it may be another, I'm saying another 10 years before we really start seeing a lot of it, because I have watched the migration from in my lifetime. I've watched the migration from Nashville to Brentwood to Franklin, down to Spring Hill, now out to Columbia, into Chapel Hill,
mm-hmm.
and really been kind of seeing it, people moving into the Lewisburg area too. So it's headed our way.
Yeah.
But it may still be a few more years before we start seeing
it. What is your take on, you know, all these people that are from non-traditional southern states moving down here, like me? I mean, I moved here 15 years ago, so I'm pretty much a native.
Understand this, that there's a reason why you left where you left.
Right.
Don't bring it here.
Yeah.
Whatever, if it's high taxation, if it's overregulation, that's why you left that. Most people,
yeah.
That's why you left that place.
Yeah.
don't come here and try to recreate what you left.
But you're seeing a lot of that out in North Carolina.
You're seeing it. You're seeing it in Williamson County.
And Davidson, for sure.
And Davidson, for sure.
And in North Carolina, in the Raleigh-Durham area, there's a town called Cary. And I guess the locals affectionately, they made it an acronym. Containment Area for Relocated Yankees.
I like
which
that.
Is, you know.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, I always felt like I was just a Southerner that was born in the wrong area.
Right, right.
You know
it's just understand that there's a reason why you left where you left, and don't bring the problems that caused you to want to leave California or Michigan or wherever, New York, wherever you came from.
Friggin' New Yorkers.
Yeah. One of my best customers is from
New
York.
I can say that.
Yeah.
So I'm from the area.
That's right. But don't bring that here.
Yeah.
Don't bring that here. There's a reason why you wanted to come here.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, you got people like I said, like Nelly's and, you know, Joey's House of Pizza. They moved down here, I want to say back in the late 70s or 80s or something, and just wanted to start a whole new life and bring, you know, good food.
Right.
To this area. And they've been staples of the community.
You know, and it's, I don't know if you've had them in, but. And I'm not here to give a free plug to a business, but, you know, I use exclusively, for the most part, I get all my vehicles serviced at Fastlane up here in Thompson Station.
Right.
And David is from, you know, he's from New York and
is
moved
he?
Down here.
Really?
So, you know, don't bring your problems here. Yeah, Come down here and let's all have a great life here in good old Middle Tennessee.
That's right. Understand the appealing aspect of the Southern hospitality.
We have no state income tax here,
yeah.
But there's a time we're going to have to say the vacancy light has got to go out too. So it's getting a little full.
It's funny because when I had the prospect of moving back east from Vegas, they're like, "Oh, you coming back to Connecticut?" I said, "Nope, I don't want to go back to Connecticut. That is the armpit of the country." All right. Most people up there, you know, and I love people that are up there. I still have friends and family that are up there, but I've said this to them before. I said, this is people that are up there think themselves so civilized, mm-hmm. yet they're the most uncivilized mm-hmm. set of people. I talked about our visit to New York a couple of years ago. Within a day of being there, I was like, just get me out of here. I'm done.
Right.
And just so bad.
My wife used telling me she's been to New York a few times. She said, "You really need to go." And I said, "No, I don't."
You got to visit at least. You know,
I might fly over.
Yeah.
Could you see me walking down Times Square?
I think get a camera on you and just let you do your thing. I did that. I would actually.
I would just put my GoPro on my head.
Totally. I would actually walk down the streets of Manhattan with my family, and I would do all the things you're not supposed to do, like make eye contact. So I would actually look at people that were coming towards me. My gosh, was it off-putting for them.
I bet.
Oh, my gosh. They were getting so nervous because I would just stare right at them as they were walking by. And then we get to the corner, and I'd be like, "Hey, y'all, how do we get down to that World Trade Center? We're not from around here, as you can tell. How do we get down there to that world? I see the buildings down there, but what's the best way? What do you think?" And they'd be like, "Oh yeah, this guy is not from around here. Let's send him up north." You know,
those guys.
Yeah, these guys.
Those guys. What are you doing here?
But you know, but I got to say, man, thanks for coming in. I really do appreciate it.
I'm glad to do it, Jim.
How do they reach you? How do they get a hold of you? They, meaning the people that listen to this thing.
They, yeah. Those people. Yeah, you know, it's just you can find me on Facebook. Look for just Google the Yard Boy.
Yeah.
The easiest
is it
thing
yardboy.com?
The yardboy.net.
.net.
Some goober down in South Carolina has got .com tied up and he won't turn loose of it. And I've been trying to get it for 5 years.
How much does he want?
Too much. So,
of course.
Pick up your mobile phone, text the Yard Boy to the number 90210.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll get you to everything Yard Boy. But go to the yardboy.net. You can find my. Links to my YouTube channels on there, and actually I think I have links to the bacon and the avocado on there as well. So.
Nice. So one landing page for all your needs. Well, thank you for coming in. And of course, thank you for listening and watching. Please like, subscribe, listen, watch, rate, subscribe. I think I've already said that. Tell your mom and them. Go to whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Again, a nice little landing page to solve those problems for all those links that are to be had. Check it out, whatsyourproblempodcast.com. And of course, our great sponsor, big.ink.com. Corey, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.